Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Roo.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
Dale Peters, say hello.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Radio Dale episode number 57.
This week in music history, 90s hits.
This week on Who Charted, it's the greatest gainers.
For Roo's 60-second tip, music on Reddit.
For the roundtable, we're going to the world of campus radio.
And for our song, we have a Wayback Playback with Tokyo Police Club.
Yay!
Okay, so there's one person missing this week.
Yes.
So things might happen a little bit faster.
Yes, Amber has, because she just talks so much and just takes up all our time. But she is in Florida right now doing Florida things. So we're going to jump right into it with This Week in Music History. And I believe, India, you are starting us off.
And I'm very excited about this one. On February 5th, 1983, Def Leppard's album Pyromania started a 92-week run on the U.S. charts. It never reached number one, but sold over 6 million copies in the U.S. alone.
Now, what was the big song from Pyromania? You probably know this better than me.
Oh, there were a lot. There was, like, High and Dry, Foolin' was off of this.
Foolin'! Okay, yeah, now I remember.
It was the release before Hysteria.
Yeah, I remember Foolin' was awesome because there's the video, somebody throws a guitar to the guy and he starts playing it. It's great. February 6, 1946, Born on This Day. Canadian folk singer Kate McGarrigle, once married to folk singer Loudon Wainwright III. Wainwright, keep that in mind. Kate is the mother of singers Rufus and Martha Wainwright. She rose to prominence with her sister Anna. They recorded together in the 70s. Unfortunately, she died of cancer on the 18th of January in 2010, which was a big loss. She's very, very talented.
That's so sad.
Oh, and as a fun side note, her and Anna recorded one of the versions of the theme song to Weeds. When they showed that show, they used to have different artists do the theme song. They did a French version.
Hmm. Interesting. February 7th.
Oh, that's interesting.
Either on 1963 or in 1962.
This is a quiz. Tell us
it's
which one it is.
Garth Brooks was born.
Yay!
We don't know which of the 2 years. But he had the 1991 U.S. number one album, Ropin' the World, which spent 70 weeks on the U.S. charts, and he is the biggest selling artist of the 90s with over 60 million sales.
Way to go,
I'm
Garth.
I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, really?
I thought Shania might have been the biggest selling.
No, Garth got in early, and he stayed a long time. Yeah. February 8th, 1992, UK act Right Said Fred started a 3-week run at number one with the song Too Sexy for My Shirt.
No!
Too Sexy. It was a number two hit in the UK, ironically, even though he was a UK artist.
Huh. On February 9th, 1991, CNC Music Factory started a 2-week run at number one with the US singles chart with The Make You Sweat.
Yeah.
A number three hit in the UK.
There you go. A little bit of 90s hit this week.
The big 90s week.
Totally. February 10th, 1942. Going back in time, Chattanooga Choo Choo by Glenn Miller and his orchestra becomes the first recording to be awarded a gold record. It was just a master copy of the disc sprayed with gold lacquer as a publicity stunt. The actual award recognized today as a gold record would not be initiated for another 16 years.
Cool. And on February 11th, 1989, Paula Abdul started a three-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart was Straight Up, the first of three number ones in 1989, and it was a number three hit in the U.K. for her.
She was awesome. She had Straight Up, she had Cold Hearted Snake, and Forever Your Girl were all her number ones.
Which was the music video with the cat?
That was Opposites Attract.
Okay, yeah. That wasn't that one.
Yeah, that wasn't that one, no. But it was a very, very, very cool video. So, India, can you tell us who charted? Yes.
I tried to be like Amber there in case you missed it, because she just gets a kick out of saying that. But we're sort of doing a continuation or a similarity to last week, because last week Amber went over, I think, the most added songs on the BDS charts. And this week I'm going to look at the greatest gainers for spins on the media-based charts.
Cool.
So they're just slightly different. They have different stations report to the media-based charts. And they do it for all of the different formats as well. But this week, I'm just going to do the top 10 on alt-rock because they tend to have the most new music as on the alt-rock chart. So, top 10 greatest gainers media-based alt-rock chart. Number 1, Foster the People, Coming of Age. Number 2, Congo's Come With Me Now. I really like that song. Number 3, Breached, Left Behind. Number 4, USS Ying Yang.
Who's a former Dale speaking artist as well.
Number 5, Fantagram, Fall in Love.
Oh, I love that song.
Check out Rue's blog on Fantagram. Number 6, Tokyo Police Club, Hot Tonight. Also a Dale speaking alumni.
Alumnus.
But there are plural of them. Number 7, Against Me, Black Me Out. Number 8, Bastille, Bad Blood. Number 9, Wet Secrets, Nightlife. And number 10, Band of Skulls, Asleep at the Wheel. I like that one too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Lots of band of bands, I've noticed. There's Band of Horses as well. People get into that name thing. Like, there were so many rivals for a while.
Well, now there are sons. As you're wearing a Rival Sons t-shirt.
There were Rival Sons, and there was Young Rivals, and then there was, it's all over the place.
Glorious Sons.
Glorious Sons.
There are several.
Interesting.
We could make a game out of it.
We could. Maybe we will next time.
Well, that
would
be fun.
A variation on horses, Band of Horses, would be New Young Pony Club.
Which
I really like that.
Okay.
All right, and we're going to jump right into the 60-second tip. This is going to be a little bit different than the other time because I didn't script it, so we'll have to see if I can pull it off.
Ooh, I'm excited, Rue.
Here we go. Music on Reddit. Now, if you don't know what Reddit is a site where people put up share links and share videos, things that they like. People vote them up or vote them down, whether they like it and comment on them. And there are a lot of opportunities for people to share their music on Reddit. Now, there's R Music. Now, R represents subreddit, which is kind of like a folder on the site. For music, it's not a very good place to share your own music because that's for people to share music they like. In fact, they have a big list of bands you're not allowed to share anymore because they've been shared so many times.
No.
Yeah, just people are sick of hearing about them.
What?
Better places to go are the subreddit r/listentothis, which is essentially a place for people to share their own music, and also r/wearethemusicmakers. Now, if you want to share your music on Reddit, please read Reddikit because it will tell you the etiquette for sharing on Reddit, and also don't only promote your music, share other people's music too, so you don't look like you're there just to talk about yourself. And that's the 60-second tip of the week. And I think I did it.
And how many seconds?
Oh,
time's up.
Oh, that was nub. I used a different stopwatch this time and it was noisy.
I liked it.
There you go. So that was the 60-second tip.
I also liked it when you said the Reddit etiquette.
Reddit is perfect. So we are just powering through today.
Wow, I like it.
This is what happens when Amber's not here to talk. We should bash Amber for the entire episode. She'll get so mad at us. Anyways, we thought it would be interesting since we have a bit of a background when it comes to campus music. And we've talked about campus radio previously in snippets to talk more at length about campus radio, sort of from two perspectives. Now, India, what is your experience with campus radio?
It's a really great place to sort of have an even playing field when it comes to music. It's really just based on the music and not as much about what's going on with artists. So, you know, it's not about celebrity or who's opening for who. It's really fair, and that's something that I really like about it.
Nice. And my experience with it and what I like about it is that I was a DJ at a station called CFRU.
In Guelph,
back in the day. I spent about 4 years doing a two-hour show at varying time slots from 1:30 to 3:30 in the morning to afternoons, and I spent a lot of time in the station, so I sort of have some experience as somebody India would get in touch with to convince me to play music. So tell me a bit about the process. If an artist wants to get on campus radio, if they're just thinking, I want to be played on campuses, and that's all they know, what are they missing? What should they know?
Well, I'd say that the first thing that they should decide is, do they want to be played on all campuses or do you want to be played just on one? Or like if you're touring in a specific area, because for mainstream radio, you want the highest chart number that you can get. So to do that, you want to be played on all commercial radio stations. But at campus, each station submits their own chart weekly and there are various outlets, but the main one in Canada is called Earshot. So maybe it's more cost efficient for you just to go to one station. You start in your hometown station or mm-hmm. go to some stations that you might be near in the future instead of trying to go all across the board. But there's a similar process to commercial radio. What you want to do is find out who the music director is mm-hmm. and send them your album. They like albums, and it has to be something that's not more than a year old. So we're in 2014, so stuff from 2013 would still be okay, mm-hmm. but you're not going to send them anything from 2012 because mm-hmm. they really like what's new and what's, you know, breaking the edge
yeah.
and stuff that's coming up, and they like to support new and local people as well. So you're going to send them your album addressed, give them some information about you, and then usually it's going to go under review mm-hmm. and see if it fits into one of the formats that they're playing. So each station has several formats, and each of the formats has their own separate chart usually that's also reported to Earshot. So you could be, if you're in a specific category, you could be folk, hip-hop, electronic, international, jazz, or loud. Mm-hmm. Loud would be like metal. And then also just regular shows, you know, alt-rock is usually what yeah. gets played a lot as well.
Yeah. I remember from my days being there that it was really a mishmash, and it's less that a campus station is a specific format and more that shows kind of cover specific formats. Mm-hmm. You'll have your folk show. You'll actually, a lot of them also double as community radio. So you'll have the old guy who's been listening to folk since the 50s and 60s doing a 2-hour show about folk yep. at the station.
And then after that, you might have the brand new person who does 30 seconds of reggae.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
yeah, and actually it's interesting because my show was about like eclectic and obscure music, mostly Canadian, but the show before mine was called Dole Beats, and it was all Bhangra, which is like Indian dance music.
Yeah. You can really get a lot of different interesting things and mm-hmm. really obscure shows.
Yeah.
But they might work for you. But there are some stations that are known for a particular sound that they have.
Yeah.
So if you want to look into those, CKUA in Alberta is a primarily folk-based station mm-hmm. and roots and blues. And then CKUT in Montreal is really world music-based. So they're into more like, you know, like reggae and interesting sounds from all around the world. And then CIOI, which used to be called Indie, but is now called The Hawk in mm-hmm. Hamilton. They're your really good indie rock station. So that's okay. pretty much all they play.
And that's cool. And the other neat thing is, as you mentioned, you send in hard copies.
Yes.
At CFRU, when I was there, they had the library, which mm-hmm. was obviously a big CD library. They had a vinyl library. In the studio, because it was smaller, they had a tape rack with all the local artists submitting tapes. And they had the new releases, which was literally just like a broom closet with a shelf, and just anything new was up there. So yep. when you'd show up, the first thing you do is skim through the new stuff. And because it's not organized by genre, it's alphabetical. Mm-hmm. Someone like me, it would be the name of the band, maybe the name of the songs, the album art,
yep.
that kind of thing was all I had to go on while flipping through. And you'll literally sit in the booth. You'll be playing your first two songs that you've already got planned, but because I always like to improvise a bit, while I played the songs, I'd skim through albums to find something that was kind of neat, and one of those songs would maybe find its way on.
Yeah.
And it's really cool, and artists will come in for interviews, and it's something to really consider, especially if you're going to be touring in university towns.
Yeah. It's more of a, if you're not going through a radio tracker mm-hmm. who's going to be following up with the music directors checking on you, it's more of sort of a luck of the draw.
Yeah, totally.
Because like what you said, like there's a chance that someone might see your album and pick it up, and there's mm-hmm. a chance that no one will.
Totally. And so sometimes all you have to go on is a band name and an album cover.
Yep.
You're literally judging by the cover because it's not digital. It's not like you show up and there's a little folder for you where the music director said, here are 20 new eclectic releases, yeah. all nice MP3s, flip through them, see which ones you want to play.
Yeah, exactly.
It's up to the DJ
yeah.
to choose what they're going to play.
Yeah.
Very different.
Very different. But the cool thing about that is that, you know, a local person with 80 likes on their Facebook page could be played right after, like, you know, new Tegan and Sarah yeah. or the Pack AD.
Yeah,
you
totally.
You might even chart above them, even though no one knows you and you have nothing going on online, but it's really just more based on your music.
And if you have a local, if you're an artist and you have a local station, a campus station, it's really important to get to know them, especially if
Definitely.
You're not pop, if you're like something more bizarre yep. or more alt or indie. Because in Guelph especially, there was a period where CBC declared Guelph like the music center of Canada.
Yeah.
It's because Gentleman Reg came from there. Gentleman Reg went on to be in the Hidden Cameras and sort of do a lot of his own stuff. So many artists came out of Guelph, and most of them, I remember the first Gentleman Reg CD being there, which was probably handmade, and playing songs from that because he was a local guy. I wanted to support him, and he was known in the community. It just sort of grew from there.
Yeah. It's very cool. Definitely important to go and do interviews and live. They don't have, you know, the same nice tech capabilities.
No, they do not.
But they still work.
Yes, but they do have tech capabilities. Like, you can do phone interviews with most of the stations. Yep. I'm pretty sure all of them at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if they had Skype capabilities as well. I know 2 years ago, I went to their alumni week and did a two-hour show. And they had it all set up modern, but it was neat. They had, like, the computer. They had MP3s you could choose from, which they'd ripped from CDs. And it was almost like a modern station with the blocks of time. But they still had the same turntables. They still had the same board. They still had all the same stuff. So it's kind of like this neat blend of the old style of radio where the DJ had the power.
Yep.
And modern technology.
But, I mean, it's so cool because for lots of them, you know, new radio stations, commercial stations, are rebranded all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be pretty new. But universities are old institutions. Mm-hmm. And most of those community stations have been there since the technology was there.
Yes.
So they have a lot of history in them.
Yeah. And you should never discount that. Something that's been around for a while, even if you think, oh, they probably don't have that many listeners. First off, they do.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more than they even let on. A lot more than I knew, because when I was playing shows, I'd think I'd be alone. Then 2 weeks later, start getting emails about songs I played 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
You don't often know how big your listenership is.
And that's the thing, you can't tell at stations. Mm-hmm. They don't have a monitor for that.
No.
So, like, you can ask them, and
they'll be like, we get 10 requests a night and whatever. And that kind of thing is actually a good way to look at it. If somebody gets even one call during a show, you know there are a lot of listeners out there. Definitely. So do we have any other notes about campus? Things of note?
I just think that it's something that people shouldn't disregard.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your eyes are on commercial radio at the end, depending on
which
format. We have a guest in the room. Dale Peters, say hello.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
Sorry to interrupt.
Bye.
Bye, Dale.
I think that it's something that shouldn't be disregarded, especially if you're not pop.
Exactly.
Or not commercial country, but, you know, you're the older style country, or more folk-based.
Or more folk-based. And it's also a good training ground as an artist, not only to get your music out there, but to learn how to promote your music to radio. Because it's very easy to say you are from British Columbia, to look up all the universities in British Columbia, locate which ones have campus stations, go to their website, find out who the music director is, how to contact them, how to get in touch with them, send them your music, and build up your own database. So you actually have a spreadsheet or something that you can look at and say, I have a new album coming out, and here's my spreadsheet of British Columbia stations. Mm-hmm. And I now know through this, through us talking about it, or maybe even other online resources, that they want CDs, that I should try to get in touch with the music director, not just throw it at the station and hope somebody likes it. Maybe listen to the station, because they mostly stream online now.
Yep.
Find out the different DJs that play. See if you can get in touch with them, because they may mention, I'm on Twitter. And then you're like, hey, your show matches my style.
Yep.
What do you think? You'll link them to your YouTube video or something. It's a good way to sort of practice what you will be doing when you start trying to move up to, say, a mainstream station, and find out, how can I get in touch with these people and get them to like my music?
Definitely. And especially if you're able to do interviews and in-studio performances, that's definitely a really great tool that you should be taking advantage of that too, that time, and to know what you're going to do.
One caveat I will say is that it's easy to be fooled by people that say, I will get you radio play, say, in the U.S. for a certain amount of money. I recently experienced a situation where an artist had gotten a lot of radio play and charting, air quotes, in the U.S. by paying for a company to do this. They paid a flat rate, and they said, we'll get your albums on. But a lot of the stations that were playing the song were closed circuit, meaning they were playing within the campus. They don't actually broadcast. And the charting was purchased, essentially, because you bought charting. They said, I'll get you in the top 10 of five of these stations. Yeah. One difference between somebody like that and somebody like our company is we will not tell you that you're going to get charting.
There's
no guarantee in this world. So be wary of anybody asking you to pay money with a guarantee of charting. And if anybody says, I will help you get on campus radio, especially in the U.S., ask them for a list of stations that they're going to work you to and look them up. If they are closed circuit, CC, you don't care about getting on that station because only students on campus who happen to be listening or say in the cafeteria or food place where it might be playing will get to hear your music. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good.
I think that's a great little campus chat.
Campus chat.
Yeah.
Oh, we should do campus chat like every couple of months.
That's fun.
I like it. So, I think that's it for this episode of Radio Dale.
Probably the
fastest ever.
Yeah, we hope that was informative. If campus radio is something that you want to get into, or now know you definitely don't want to get into.
And of course, as always, if you have questions about this episode or anything we said, don't hesitate to get in touch with us. You can email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com, or better, find us online on Twitter. We're at Dale_speaking, or just head to dalespeaking.com if you want to see a little bit more about us and find other ways to contact us. Our phone number is even there. Call us.
Crazy.
Hell, we'll just say it. 416-861-8111. Call us. It's right out there for you.
It's right there.
Right there. Give us a call and talk to us about this episode, and we're happy to chat back. Did we introduce ourselves? Kind of, I think.
I'm Rue.
And I'm India. Now everybody's all confused. But we are going to leave you with a Way Back playback.
I love that.
Yes. Tokyo Police Club, as was already mentioned, has a new album and a new single.
Hot Tonight.
And we are going to go back to a song we worked a while back. The band had very good charting with this song. The album did very well, basically throughout North America. And they performed this song at the Junos that year. So we are going to leave you with Tokyo Police Club's Bambi.
Bambi.
To a throne, a tiny kingdom.